Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
It's been around since 1978 and has recorded music by some of the world's most famous artists, including the Rolling Stones, Kate Bush, Miley Cyrus, and a local band called U2. Windmill Lane's recording studios may no longer be on the keys, but it still trains the next generation of music engineers and is one of the more popular tourist sites in the city. Naomi Moore is the chief executive of Windmill Lane Recording Studios. Good morning, Naomi.
Good morning.
It must have been a big gamble when the founder of Windmill Lane, Brian Masterson, set up a very high-spec recording studio in a remote part of Europe called Dublin in 1978.
Yeah, I can imagine it was. He interviewed Brian for about 2 hours one day to kind of get the background of everything. And yeah, he was. I mean, they kind of threw the kitchen sink at it all. And I think they built it hoping that people would come, you know. So there would have been a big kind of scene at the time in Dublin. 1980s Dublin, grungy, a lot of unemployment. People were, you know, having picking up the guitars, writing songs. So it would have been a good time to capture bands. And a lot of bands were going to the UK to record, like
Thin Lizzy and the Rats
and Plangstein, people like that. Yeah. So there was a lot of new bands that were coming up and rising. So they wanted to, I think, himself and James Morris had set up Windmill Lane Pictures and recording in Windmill Lane or on Windmill Lane. And I think they built the recording amp just to kind of try to keep the homegrown talent here and hope that they would come. And they did. They came and drove.
So. And was one of the seminal moments was when that local band that we spoke about, when they decided to record Boy, and that became a huge success in 1980.
I think so, yeah. It seemed to have been the catalyst for it. There was a lot of other bands that would have recorded there as well. But I think U2 did kind of launch them into an international mainstream there. And that's when people like AC/DC, Metallica and Def Leppard, and they all started to come to Ireland, you know, and stay and record in Windmill Lane. Mm. I think it took off really from there.
And you moved from Sir John Rogerson's Quay to an absolutely stunning Art Deco building now in Ringsend. Mm-hmm. Was that a risk moving away from, remember the famous wall that everybody was writing on, all that? Was that a risk or it just had to happen?
I think they needed a bigger boat. I think this is what they really needed to do. I think because it had become so successful and because the pictures and the film end, like the film end from James's perspective, they were really successful as well. Mm. You know, TV kind of post-production stuff. And then the band, the music bit was getting bigger. So they opened up Studio 2 and Studio 3. And then, as I said, needed a bigger boat. And also Brian wanted, I think...
That's a Jaws reference, folks.
Sorry, yeah. Showing me age there. Yeah. Brian wanted to get more into orchestral stuff, you know, to record orchestral music. And I think Ringsend Road allowed for that. It was huge. So the company sort of split in 1990 and Windmill Pictures, or Windmill stayed there from James's element with the TV and then developed more into the pictures and became very successful in its own right there. Yeah. And the rock and roll end, the music end went with James or with Brian to Ringsend Road. And set up there in 1990. So it's
hence
been
the confusion that some people say when Windmill Lane TV and filmmaking side split and it was taken over by Ian Hyland about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yes, yeah. So the pictures end was. So, you know, that was, yeah, it has always been kind of confusing anyway. We've always worked in collaboration with each other, but it's always been confusing because 35 years ago, the Windmill Lane recording studios, it started off in, it kind of moved to Ringsend Road. It's been there since, and then the pictures end. So, yeah, it does get confusing. And then when it does, you know, Ian Hyland thankfully took over Windmill Pictures recently, but Windmill Lane Recording Studio is owned by the three of us.
I had the privilege of going out and seeing Windmill Lane last week, and it's absolutely beautiful. But you are way more than just a recording studio. There are two other major streams of income.
Yeah, so there's three elements. So ourselves, so we have obviously the music end, so it's the recording of bands and music and the orchestral recordings. Mm. And then the second stream would be training. So we train the next generation of audio.
The floods of this world.
The floods of this world. Yeah, exactly. So it's the music technology, sound engineers, and our orchestral as well. We have an MA in orchestration or scoring for film and TV. Mm. And they all train out of Windmill Lane Recording Studios, so it's a really good environment for those generations to
try.
And
I saw some of those young people when I was there
hanging
last
around,
week.
Yeah.
And of course, you do a bit of tourism and it's a rising bit of your business.
It is, yeah. So we opened up in a wonderful opening in February 2020. So I think really anytime... So
that was just before something major happened.
It was something, a little kind of thing happened in the world. But in 2019, Aidan, one of my partners, is myself, Tony Perry, and Aidan Alcock, that own the company. Aidan was saying, look, you know, every time there's a band here, particularly you two, we get loads of tourists at the door. So let's open up, you know, 150 tickets to a people.
Monetize it.
Monetize. Well, at the time, we weren't thinking that way, really. It was just because they were always at the door. We could never do anything with them. So we said, look, open up 150 tickets. Within 24 hours, 3,000 people had applied for tickets.
Wow.
And it just went stellar. So we went, okay, there is something in this. And they were really interested, not just in U2 or the bands or whatever it was the recording process and everything that happened behind. And the beautiful Art Deco building that it is.
You and know, they thinking. Get to record a little bit of their voice as well when they get into
they
the
They do.
The
so, yeah, there's that. There, we do, well, we spent a year devising then tours and experiences that you could do when you came in. And we did a massive, beautiful launch in February 2020 with Michael Dean, with the president. Mm. Michael D. Higgins was attended and Paul Brady performed, and then we were closed a month later. But so we've been open again kind of 2 years before the tour end, and it's really busy. It's great.
What's the split between the tourism side, the education side, and the music recording side?
It's seasonal between all three. So, like, all three strands of the business would be profitable, but they're all at different times. So,
and which is the biggest income stream of those three?
Would be between the college with the tourism sort of rising, and then the studio kind of along
bubbling,
the same lines.
Along.
Yeah. Because you need to have the three in this world to make things work.
Well, make sure you get down there, folks. It is a really lovely tour that I did last week, and I urge you all to do it. That is Naomi Moore, the chief executive of Windmill Lane Recording Studios. Thank you.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.